Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What's up, y'all? We is back in this thing. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev. I'm hearing background noise, family.
Hotel for Barry Ghani. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Mufasa.
And we are Collective Minds. I didn't get a chance to hear Roger. You still with us, Roger Queen?
Roger then took a, she probably went to the powder room, family.
He didn't take a break. All right, no doubt. Well, this is Collective Minds, family. Hello?
There she go. There she is.
Yeah. Right.
All right, all right.
Right here.
All right, family. This Collective Minds. We back again for another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with your family, bring some solutions, and just have, you know, a good conversation overall. This is Collective Minds. We say we ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. And we definitely have a great show lined up for today. But before we get started, you know, Queen Roger and Mufasa Ra, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Had a great week. Well, a quick announcement. I just wanted to kind of touch base on those, get y'all quick thoughts about those mass shootings that's been happening quite frequently. I know Brother Kevin and I spoke briefly about it the other day, but we didn't get a chance to get Mufasa's perspective. I just thought it was rather interesting. It was back to back. I know, I'm sure there's some that get past the media, you know, but here we do have some that's mainstream back to back. I think one was within 24 hours, right? Past, I know the Garlic Festival then
yeah,
was past two within 24 hours.
Right, exactly. It was two within 24 hours and three within the past week. Now, here's another interesting stat. There have been 250 mass shootings since the beginning of the year. So we're talking about 215, 16 days we bought into the year. So it's been 250 mass shootings since January 1st. Now trip off that.
Wow.
Yes,
wow,
indeed.
Those numbers, right?
According to USA Today. Now, a mass shooting, they count a mass shooting as anything over three people. So even the situation in that happened here in St. Louis where the five people got caught.
Yeah,
the five people was in the apartment, that's considered a mass shooting as well. Okay, so just to give you perspective. But even still, there's still been 250 mass shootings since the beginning of the year. I'm hearing like some wind or background noise. I don't know where it's coming from, but there's like some wind and background noise. Okay,
I'm
gotcha,
in the house,
gotcha.
Y'all.
Okay.
I'm in the kingdom.
We'll figure it out. Now, I was going to go in about the shooting, but I guess we'll let Mufasa real quick if he got any announcements. Or I don't know if you was finished, Roger, with your announcements.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I do got some stuff to say about the students.
Yeah, I was done. I just wanted to kind of bring it up and get, you know, you guys' perspective on just the whole thing, you know, just like the whole premise.
Right.
Of, you know, the entire thing that's just you know, kind of sickening.
Right. Yes, indeed. And we gonna talk about that because it's only right that we give this a little time before we actually get into the show. So I'm gonna break down a few things for the family, and then we can get into the show. But before that, Mufasa, do you got any announcements? And how was your week, brother?
Hey, week was blacktastic. You know what I'm saying? The only thing I want to give an announcement out to, this is for people, family in the St. Louis area, is one, coming up this, well, first, before I even say that, earlier today, actually just a few minutes ago, I just left there, it's an organization here called Uhuru. And they may, I believe at this point, though, they're in other states as well, other cities. But the local chapter here in St. Louis, they have property down on West Lawson in North St. Louis. And I'm just giving them a shout-out on the work that they have done in such a short period of time. This is a black organization who are in the middle of the black community. They bought a building, they rehabbed it, and it's beautiful. Beautiful building inside and out. They got a community garden next door to it, and they're looking to buy more property. Today, when I went down there, I noticed they had a flagpole installed, huge flag, and you know, it's flying, the Pan-African flag with the colors red, black, and green. You can see that baby for about two blocks away. It is beautiful. So I'm giving them a congratulations and a putting my black fist in the air for them because they're doing a fantastic job in trying to uplift the spirits of the community and give them a sense of pride. So coming up next Friday, they invited me and others to come back. Next Friday, they're doing a big movement, they're having a big meeting having to do with the incarceration of people who were involved in the Ferguson uprising here in St. Louis. So a lot of people got incarcerated behind it, and they're going to discuss the people, the soldiers who got incarcerated during that movement. One brother will even be there. He'll be there performing. So, again, I don't have that address in front of me, but if you're in the St. Louis area, it's on West Lawson, close to Carter. I want to say that's Carter. And I have more information for you next week. But, again, congratulations to the Uhuru movement. I'm really proud of what they're doing. As far as these mass shootings go, yeah, it's tragic. It's unfortunate. But this is no surprise to me, you know, what's going on in this country and worldwide. You know, people, we got to be on point. We got to militarize ourselves and know, understand the times that we're living in. This is why this is tied in and perfect with the show that we're discussing today about being comfortable. You know, you sit back, you be comfortable, and you relax, and you don't understand the dangers that are around you. You know, we got to militarize our minds and train our minds on how to react in these situations because the mass shooting can happen at any moment. And you got to, unfortunately, you have in today's day and time, you got to put that in your mind and think, hey, I could be just at the grocery store. I could be at church. I could be at the mosque. I could be at my child's school. And a mass shooting could erupt at any moment. You know, you could just be outside at the barbecue, at the park, and somebody might want to just come through and start killing people. So, people, you have to be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, get some training. Get some military training. Get some martial arts training. You know, even get some gun training. But I'm just saying be aware of your surroundings. So that's what I want to say briefly when it comes to those mass shootings.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, family. Give us a call, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. Now, in relation to the mass shootings, you know, I've been digging up, doing a lot of research, trying to see what's going on. So like I said before, it's been 250 mass shootings since the beginning of the year. Now, just in case people, you know, are not aware, there was a shooting last week in California at this so-called Garlic Festival. And this person was a self-proclaimed white supremacist. Now, the other day, there was a shooting at a Walmart and at a mall parking lot in El Paso, Texas, with a guy from Dallas, at least 20 dead and over 50-something wounded. Now, this guy also was a self-proclaimed white supremacist. He put out a manifesto, which you can find online, and he also referenced, no, I'm sorry, the guy from the Garlic Festival referenced a book called Might is Right. It's called Might is Right by Ragnar Redbeard. Now, when I tell y'all this book is deep, this book is deep. But before I get to that, let me just backtrack. So last night or yesterday, there was a shooting in Ohio, a mass shooting with, let me see. It was, because I want to give the exact numbers on how many died. But anyway, it was a mass shooting in Ohio last night. It was a man armed with bulletproof vest. They say at least 9 dead and over 10 people or 10 or more people wounded. Right. So it was 9 shootings. Right, right. 26 or 27. Excuse me, y'all. That's actually from the shooting in Dayton. But this happened last night. So I'm saying all this to say is we have a white supremacist terror cells that are going around and doing these mass shootings. And a lot of people don't want to connect the dots. But if you go and read the guy's manifesto, he actually connects the dots. He talks about a lot of things. He talks about the New Zealand shooting, how he supported that. So this is a worldwide phenomenon, and the media is actually being complacent by not connecting the dots and saying exactly what it is. This is white supremacist terrorists that are going on these mass shootings. A lot of them, like I said, they're like they leave these manifestos, they leave these videos. When they scrub their social media, they find all this rhetoric, you know, this white supremacist rhetoric on their pages. So I want to give you this, though. In the book, The Might is Right, it talks about a lot of things, and it talks about the psyche of these white supremacists. And it basically says that they don't have a problem with going after soft targets. They believe that honor, integrity, morality, and playing fair is for the weak. Let me repeat that again. Honor, having honor, integrity, morality, and playing fair is for the weak. They only care about domination. And in the guy's manifesto who did the shooting in El Paso, he basically said, it was the Native Americans' fault for not taking the threat of the Europeans seriously when they came to this country. So he's basically saying that these people don't play fair, and they're all about domination and going after weak targets. And for a long time, I was scratching my head like, okay, if these are white supremacists doing these shootings, why are they shooting up mostly white spaces, right? They're shooting up mostly white spaces, Las Vegas, the shooting at the Garlic Fest, even this one in El Paso. But you could probably make the case that it was, you know, Hispanics or white Hispanics in that area. I was always scratching my head as to why would they, you know, be shooting up these white spaces and shooting up white people as well. Well, this is because, and he kind of broke this down in his manifesto, they're trying to get white people on code. They're trying to get white people who sympathize, you know, are liberal or these type of people. They're trying to get them back on code and back to the mind frame or mindset of domination. So they're doing this to get white people on code and get them to, you know, basically go back to the old days and just, you know, don't hide your racism, just come out with it and just dominate. You know what I'm saying? So I'm putting all that out to say, like my brother Mufasa said, that it is important that we are aware, you know, when we go out and we're in these different spaces and we're aware of the people that we're dealing with. We are in a war, as we all know. You know, that's the position I take. And we're playing with people who don't play fair. So when they tell you all this stuff, oh, black people need to pull themselves by their bootstrap, all you need to do is work hard, blah, 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 this and that. We know that these are lies, right? We know that these people have cheated, stolen, done lied, done everything under the sun, but they expect us to play fair. And meanwhile, you know, we're in the same economic and political position that we were in 1865. You see what I'm saying? So we have to realize who we're playing with, what's going on. These people do not respect honor. They don't respect integrity. They don't respect you playing fair. You know, they're just about dominating and controlling. So that's, you know, I just want to put that out. But that also leads into our conversation today, right? Because we're talking about, are black people too comfortable in America? You know, have the luxuries in America really kind of put us to sleep? You know, are we just, you know, are we just complacent? Are we just like, hey, you know, racism exists, but let's just get on and move over it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think my brother Mufasa mentioned in a conversation we had that some black people are just like, hey, you know, I just want to move on from the past and don't want to have to deal with anything. You know what I'm saying? We just want to move on and don't want to have to deal with the past, and we just start from here. You know, so that may be some black people's position. So that's the question we're asking today, family. Are black people too comfortable in America? Because the thing is, with any revolution or with any change, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? So
that's,
I think,
right,
this question and this topic is appropriate because, like I say, we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable because we've been uncomfortable for a long time. But I think some of us may just be dealing with it in different ways and not really addressing the issue, you know, addressing the root of the problem. So that's what we're talking about today, family. Yes, sir.
Brother Kale, look, and I just wanted to add to that when you said about, even when going back into when you was reading the dude's manifesto and putting out there the comments that he made. See, when I hear that, when me, and I'm talking about myself, I'm not talking about the overall listening or community of black people, but when I hear this stuff, when I hear what's in his, that stuff, that rhetoric, it don't surprise me. And the reason it don't surprise me is because I know the nature of the people who are doing these things. And the nature of those people are beast-like. And as soon as black people can come to that understanding that the nature of white people who do things like this, their nature is evil. They are Satan. I just have to put it out there like that. So when you see, when you understand that that's their nature, them things don't even surprise you no more. You just understand that that's what they do. And when you understand that that's what they do, now you can start getting on code and moving a little bit different instead of getting caught so off guard. Know what you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, you can make all these excuses, but as you see, these mass shootings, these things keep happening because you don't want to understand the nature of the people that's doing them. That's in their nature to do
right.
it. They're going to do it. It's not going to stop. You need to separate yourself
right.
from Satan. You need to get on code. And when you said, like, lift up your bootstraps, yeah, we do need to lift up our bootstraps. We need to lift up our bootstraps and go to work to separate away from this beast. We don't need to be lifting up our bootstraps, trying to constantly fit in and get in and civilize everybody. No. We need to put on our bootstraps, do for self, try to separate, move on. And when we bring our people in that has taken on these wicked ways of their oppressor, we need to try our best to clean them up and get them back on their square. But, you know, not to go too far on in a sermon, you know, the two things I just really wanted to hit on is understanding when you hear these things and these people do this, it is their nature. They're not crazy. You know, they just ain't just, you know, had a bad day and decided to do something. It's in their nature to do these things. And it's not going to stop.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And just one last thing. A lot of times, you know, when they have these mass shootings, and I really, again, blame the media because they always say, I blame the media and law enforcement because the media says that, okay, these were lone wolves. I'm telling you that this is a terrorist cell. There's a cell where these people congregate online in these chat rooms, 4chan, Breitbart, Reddit. You know, they conversate and they pass along messages in these chat rooms. So I'm telling you that this is a terrorist cell and a network of people that are doing this. And I also suspect that there are law enforcement that are involved as well, right? I suspect that law enforcement may be involved as well in some capacity, right? So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, family, just be diligent. This shooting last night in Ohio, that was actually, I believe, 2/3 of the victims were actually non-white or black. So it's only a matter of time before they start, you know, trying to target us. See, they go after soft targets, so it'll be hard for them to come down in the hood and just, you know, start shooting against some gangs or something like that. Like, that'll be far-fetched. They go after soft targets, and they don't mind going after women, kids, you know, defenseless people in order to get their point across. So, you know, we're dealing with some cowards as well. You dig what I'm saying?
And Brother King.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Why they don't do that? I have to say this, unfortunately, is because some of us have adopted and taking on their ways because we haven't separated ourselves from them. So they don't come into that. They just let their pet nigger come into the community and harass the people. They don't have to do it. They use their pet, their homegrown pet nigger to terrorize black communities. And that's why they don't come down as hard as they would like to because they stick their pet dog in. As long as we continue to take on the ways of these people, we're going to continue to spiral down, 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 and become just like them. Separate yourself.
Don't stay, brother.
Cleanse your mind, and become your natural self, your natural guy self, and have some love and respect.
It is what it is.
That's right. That's right. That's right. All right, family, we gonna get into the show. That's enough on the mass shootings. They happen so much, but I felt it was important that we talk about it. You know, Roger brought it up. I felt it was important that we do talk about it, considering it was 3 within the last week. So we just wanted to put that out there. But today, family, we are talking about, are black people too comfortable in America to want, you know, any type of change? Are we just too complacent? Are we just cool with the way things are? Are we cool being just at the bottom of the economic ladder? Are we cool with no political power? Are we just cool with the way things are? And we just trying to, you know, stay out the way. So that's the question we pose into the family. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We're going to let Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa go in, and I'll have a few comments, and then we'll get to the call lines. Queen Rigel, you there?
I'm here.
You're with us? All right. So what's your take on the topic at hand? You know, are black people too comfortable in America? Are we just like, you know, we just cool with it?
Yeah, we are. And it shows, you know, at least for me. that's my experience that we are, and it's unfortunate. You know, I have to just be honest. I can't even detach myself from that, because I know that, you know, I'm personally not 100% comfortable. I don't think nobody is, but I think we are at a, you know, comfortable state where it's like, okay, if we're not pushed, if our back's not up against the wall, if there's not like a all right civil war going on right now, it's like, okay, do we make change? And each individual, I would imagine, have their own reasoning, because I know, you know, minds, you know, and I couldn't imagine everybody's going to have the same, mindset as me. But I do feel like, you know, with so much chaos, you know, in the world and around the world, you know, one person like myself, you know, what can I do? I'm a parent, you know, so it's like I just try to do what I can on the individual level to have a more simplistic type of a lifestyle as I possibly can, you know, and like someone mentioned before, just kind of stay out of the way and just and try to be hopeful that, you know, nothing of a major, something major don't happen to put me and anybody in a situation where we have to, you know, be like in a civil war. You know, I hope that it doesn't happen. But I will say that in order for us to see the change that we are hoping for, unfortunately, I do think that it will have to happen. It depends on how soon we want to see that change. Now, if people are okay to just wait it out, you know, maybe with evolution and just, you know, just over time, maybe at a slower process, things could get to a different way. But, you know, if we want, you know, a more sooner change, I do think that that's going to definitely take something really serious. And, I'm not going to act like I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm just being, you know, all the way honest. But I definitely think that people are comfortable to a degree. I'm not saying that, I'm not suggesting that they are, you know, loving the position, but it's like, you know, it has to be where, you know, if you have someone captive, you know, and you give them a certain, you just give them just enough so that they won't try to, you know, break out and kill you, you know. So it's designed for it to be that way. You know, it's designed so that way, you know, if I hold you captive and I don't give you anything, you know, your everyday thought is to how I'm going to get out, how I'm going to, you know, break a neck, so to keep that, I think it's designed to, you know, make things a little easier, as easy as they, you know, are comfortable with, so that way we could feel like, okay, well, shoot, I'm eating, so let me just, you know, I'm finna eat this food and then I'm gonna get back to work. You know, so I do think that right. That mentality is designed for us to be that way. You know, so this is America. When we compare America and the living and the lifestyle of America to other countries, then, you know, psychologically you're like, oh wow, you know, I'd rather be here type of a, you know, psychology thing going on. You know, it's a psychological thing that plays on us as well. You know, when we start to do the comparison thing also, I think it plays into the idea of us also being comfortable, because we're like, well, shoot, I'd rather have this than that. But technically, you know, we should just always just look at the full picture. Without any comparisons, just, you know, just try to do the right thing, because just do what's needed to be done, you know. So to answer the question, that's my stance. I do think that we are comfortable, and I think that's why we have not seen the change that we need to see and that we would like to see, too. So that's my take.
All right, all right. Well said. My brother Mufasa, and we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second.
It
family,
is what it is.
With us. Brother Mufasa, do you think black people are too comfortable in America?
Overall, yes. I'm going to keep it short so we can get to the call line. Yes, overall, we are comfortable. You know, me, myself, I am a member of the Nation of Islam. I have done work with the New Black Panther Party. I communicate with Moore Science Temple. I communicate with, like I said earlier, the Uhuru Movement. I communicate with any organization that's for the upliftment of black people. Okay? Now, what I notice is you can tell black people, like we said earlier, what we're going through. You can tell them the things to stay away from, what's going on, and they don't want to take it in because they're comfortable in, hey, I just want to, you know, smoke my weed. Hey, I want to continue to eat this poisonous food. Hey, I want to just sit back and, you know, work my job, watch my TV. As long as the fight don't come to my house, I'm cool. That's what the attitudes right. of a lot of us have. But then as soon as something happens at your house, now you're crying. And now you're upset, and now you're saying, what we going to do? But where was you at saying, what we going to do when this is happening to your neighbor? Where were you at
right.
then? You was just
yes,
kicked back with your feet up, kicking and partying like it was all good. But then when something happens to you and your family, now everybody's supposed to get involved. See, we got to start loving ourselves and loving our brother and our sister. And that way, with the things that's affecting them, that should affect all of us. So when I hear things like our people getting gunned down in the streets, whether it's by us or someone else, because I love my people and understand that that's my family, I need to be concerned about that. I got to get involved. That's why I brought up these different organizations, because it is a few people that's trying to uplift the community, trying to put the blueprint out of what we need to do to empower ourselves. You know, people are trying, but when you got the masses who, like I say, want to be content in doing everything that's harmful to them, you know, it makes it hard. It makes it hard for the overall community to get ahead. You know, I brought up the thing about poisonous food. Dr. Wesley Muhammad, if y'all don't know him, y'all can look him up on YouTube. He did a presentation a couple of days ago called Waging War by Zip Code, How Food in Black Communities is Weaponized. You know, I challenge y'all, go to that and look at that. The man even did a food report, and he put that in the link. Download that report and read it so you can understand how we are being attacked. You know, and if you feel there's false information, okay, well, reach out to the brother and say, hey, I don't agree with that. I disagree. Reach out to them. Then dialogue with your brother because that's your brother. We have to start doing these things. We just can't just say, oh, he put that out and then ignore it. No, that's real. The food in our community is targeted to kill us. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn these things and try to take a full change in my life, you know, and it's steps. But I can't hear this stuff and then act like I didn't hear it and ignore it. When I hear it, I see it, I research it and say, oh, wow, there is some truth to that. The fools are, you know, fools are intentionally sent out to hurt people in the black community. Now, I got to make some changes. I just can't sit back and be comfortable, I'm going to continue to eat the pork. I'm going to continue to eat all these different meats. I'm going to continue to, you know what I'm saying, eat processed food. You got to make steps. I'm going to continue to smoke tobacco, you know, it ain't food, but I just had to throw that out there. But these things are harmful to us.
Facts.
That's right.
To us, family. And once you someone gets drop something on you, we have to not be so lazy. Pay attention and especially pay attention to our people that look like us that come to give us a message. You know, I'll say this real quick. I was out today distributing the Final Call newspaper. I'm going to say two things. I promise we'll wrap it up in 2 minutes. I'm out distributing the Final Call newspaper. And because it's Sunday, I noticed, I felt it, man, today just feels kind of strange. The people ain't really being so loving and receptive. Usually I go out on other days other than Sunday, Friday, Saturday, no, Monday, Wednesday, something like that. But I usually myself don't go out on a Sunday. Well, this today, I'm out there this Sunday, and a lot of people was coming back, and they still got on their church clothes. And all I would do is go up to their window and say, hey, how you doing, family? Stick my hand out to shake their hand or give them a pound. So many of my people in their church clothes wouldn't even roll their window down and say, how you doing? You don't have to agree you don't have to agree with what I believe as being a member of the Nation of Islam. But here, I'm your brother, though. I'm a fellow person, look like you. You mean I can't? You can't even say, how you doing? I appreciate what you're doing, but, you know, I don't do that myself. I'm a Christian. I don't really fully believe in what you believe in, but I did just want to say good morning to you, brother. How you doing? I had so many people today in church clothes that didn't even want to roll their window down and speak or say, how you doing? Or fan me off like I was a turd. Like I'm a turd. Mm. I'm like, but I tell you this, but if I'd have been a white man sitting out there,
oh yeah,
you'd have grinned, you'd have rolled your window down. How you? And not only would you say, how you doing, but you'd have been, how you doing, sir? You know, you can give them respect. But you can't respect your own brother and sister. That's shameful. So
yeah, we
got to
cut that out.
Yeah, you got to cut that out. You go to church, clap and sing and all that, but then you see your brother and sister. It ain't like I'm out here selling drugs on the corner. I'm just saying, how you doing? Maybe ask you for a donation to my Final Call newspaper so that I can continue to help uplift my organization. You don't have to give a donation, but it don't kill you and it don't cost you nothing to say, how you doing, brother? But see, that's self-hate.
That's right.
That's self-hate. We got a lot of work to do out here, brothers and sisters. And we got to get out this, like we said, being comfortable in our condition. We have to.
That's right.
Oh, and one final thing. When I
go
went
ahead,
to that Uhuru organization today, I was shocked because I'm sitting there, it's probably a group of about 25 people. It was three Caucasians in there, right? The lady asked the question, she said, who was, you know, one of the organizers. She said, I want the black people in here to raise your hands if you have a family member or a friend who's been incarcerated. Every black person in the room raised their hands with the exception of one. And then she said to the non-Africans, the white people in here, how many of y'all friends or family have been incarcerated? None of them raised their hand, right? So then she said, she said, okay, well, how many people y'all know, how many friends or family you know that have stolen something? Two of them raised their hand. She said, how many of y'all know someone who's been on drugs? One of them raised their hand. She said, well, that's interesting that y'all know people that stole, you know, people that's done drugs, but none of y'all know anybody that's been incarcerated. But all the black people, with the exception of one, raised their hand.
Exactly.
That is the first sign to let you know that we are at war and we are targeted in this country.
Fact.
In this country. We got to stop being blind to this. We are blind. And the sooner we can stop being blind to the facts, the better for us as an overall group of people. I'll pass the mic, brother.
Yes, indeed. That's an excellent point, man. If you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are building with the family, and we are asking y'all, are black people too comfortable in America to want change, to affect change, to bring about change of black society's overall condition? Give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. We're going to go to the call lines here in a second. I do want to answer the question real quick. Are black people too comfortable in America? you know, since my co-host took the position of yes, I'm going to say no. And I don't think we're too comfortable in America, and I'm going to tell you why. I think Obama messed that up, right? I think when Obama was elected, I think black people were comfortable because we thought we had made it. You know what I'm saying? When they was talking about, oh, we in a post-racial society, America done made up for things. And even Mitch McConnell recently said that Obama being elected was reparations. You dig what I'm saying? He had the audacity to say Obama being elected was reparations. And remember, when Obama got elected, remember, they were saying Obama can't just do nothing for black people. He's not the black president. He's the president of the United States, so he can't just do nothing for black people, okay? But now when you look at Trump and he got in office, I think black people kind of perked up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Because Trump is doing things for his clan. He's doing things for his family, his base, and he's doing it unapologetically. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which Obama was
Brother
not
K.
doing that. You dig what
Brother
I'm saying?
K, I was going to ask you a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Why was it okay for Obama to do stuff for the homosexual community but not for black people?
Right.
What's the difference?
Right. Exactly. That's the whole thing. Remember, Obama passed gay rights bill. He did things for immigrants specifically. He basically ignored black people, and black people still love him. And I think really what black people love was Michelle, you know, Michelle's mother and the two daughters. That really gave him the credibility amongst black society, because had Obama went in there with a white wife, I don't think he would have been elected. So he got with Michelle for political reasons. You know, Obama bailed out Wall Street. You dig what I'm saying? But did nothing for black people. Remember, they went into Libya and got Gaddafi under Obama. AFRICOM was perfected and was put into play, during Bush, but it kind of carried on through Obama. During Obama, they had the most police shootings of unarmed black people. So it was a lot going on during the Obama administration, and he kind of put black people to sleep. We had thought we had made it, but I think now we're starting to see that, you know, we got took for a ride, basically. You know what I'm saying? And even though Trump is not doing nothing that no other president has done, I think we're starting to realize with the rhetoric and stuff that's on TV that we need to get on our square and really start to handle our business. Because after Trump got elected, you know, there was a lot of black businesses being started, a lot of black entrepreneurs, a lot of the talks of black empowerment. And I'm hearing, I've got some background noise. The talks about black empowerment became real strong. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're at a point where a lot of people are starting to not be so comfortable within this system, because we know that, like I say, a lot of the tricks and games that have been played, you know, we kind of got the short end of a stick because we celebrated the first black president, but what did he do actually for black people? And we got to keep in mind there's a difference. Obama is a black man, but he is not a descendant of enslaved Africans. You know, his father is from Kenya. His mother is white. You know, he lived with his grandmother in Hawaii. He lived in India for a minute. So he's really not connected to foundational black Americans in any sense. So therefore, he didn't have an allegiance to us, and he did not do anything once he was in office. You dig what I'm saying? So I think, you know, we're not as comfortable as we were during the Obama administration. And I want to get these quick stats real quick, and then we're going to go to the call lines, family. We're going to go to the call lines. Let me just give you these stats to set some type of context, right? The median white, and this has to do with income, the median white family's income is $115,000. Let me repeat that. The median white family's income is $115,000. That's six figures. The median black family's income, black American, is $1,700. $1,700. That's $1,700. So keep that in mind. Now, and this is according to the Wall Street Journal. They did a report. You can look this up online. They did a report. Now, there's $107 trillion in U.S. net worth for household wealth, $107 trillion. White households own 90% of that $107 trillion. White people have 90% of that. Black Americans only own 2.6% of the nation's wealth out of that $107 trillion. Now, remember those stats. So out of the 2.6 trillion that black people have, 10% of that, oh, I'm sorry, the top 10%, the top 10% of black people own 2.5 of that 3 trillion. Let me say that again. There's 10% of black America that owns the majority of black wealth in this country. I'm talking about the Jay-Z's, the Oprah's, Byron Allen, Robert Johnson's, these people that they show on TV and try to make it seem like the black people are doing well. And, hey, why can't you be like Oprah and Jordan and Kanye and all these names that they mask the wealth in? But those people own more than 95% of black people's entire wealth. Family, we've been put in a trick bag. You dig what I'm saying? And these people have not been playing fair with us. They've not been straight up. And meanwhile, we've been trying to play by the books. We've been going to college, getting student debts, trying to work two or three jobs. But again, our efforts have been sabotaged in a lot of areas. Yes, you have a few. I'm talking about as a group, because yes, you have individuals doing things and doing well, but as a group, the numbers speak for themselves, right? So at this point, I don't think black America is in a position to be comfortable considering the lack of wealth that we have in this country. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm going to leave that right there. Take a look at them stats. Like I said, you can look that stuff according to the Wall Street Journal. But let's get to the call lines. We are asking a question: are black people too comfortable in America? And let's hit the call lines, right, to see what the family talking about.
Okay, we'll go with area code 319-572. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I think black folks are getting a little too comfortable. But the only reason why we'll be becoming more comfortable is because if you become too loud or too active, we will be silenced. They will kill us.
Yeah.
They will take our leaders. So,
right.
So as soon as they even get a whiff of something like that, we're done. And you know, the police are just waiting
exactly
to shoot us. They're in a line.
Right. And that's why, speaking of that real quick, that's why we have to be more covert with our operations, and we don't need to have this one particular leader. We all should be leaders in our own right, and even furthermore, our particular code of conduct should be the leader. Right. The code of conduct should be the leader of black people as opposed to just one leader, because, again, they're in a position now, and if you're paying attention to the news, where things are going on, there's a lot of scrambling going on. And on the other hand, this is a perfect time for black people to establish themselves, demand what they want, and go for it and take it. Because, again, we're not playing with people who play fair. So it's going to be up to black people to solidify their position in this country for the next, decades and, you know, for the next millennia as we move forward. So it's going to be up to us. But I understand what you're saying, caller, though. Definitely, I understand what you're saying. But we're in a different day and age where we just don't need just one leader. You know what I'm saying? We all have to be leaders in our own right. You know.
And let me add to that too. Yeah, I totally agree with you for what you said, Kev. We all have to be a leader, all of us. And then, but to what the caller said about they'll take us out. Well, let them tell them bring it on. Bring it
right.
on.
Right.
I'd rather die fighting for something than sit here and live like a slave and live like I'm cool with what's going on. So let's all become leaders, just like Brother Kev said, and doggone it, tell them bring whatever they want to bring on. That's why I said earlier about studying, learning how to fight, learning how to shoot. Get on board learning that the food is weaponized. Change how you eat. Change how you carry yourself. See, when you at war, you have to change accordingly. And we just ain't changing. So acknowledge
right.
that it is a war. Change. We ain't got to take this land down on our backside. We just need to change
That's
the form.
Right.
So tell them bring
That's
it.
Right.
Bring it on, because they already bring it. We just ain't fighting.
Exactly. There you go. But, yeah, it'll come to a point, you know, when you back somebody in the corner for far enough, and like I just read them economic numbers, because we live in a capitalist society, so let's be honest, if you don't have money, you know, there's not a lot of power in building that you can do. So you can only put somebody in a corner too far before they, you know, have to fight. And I think black people are kind of being pushed in that position. But like you say, they've brought the fight to us. We just ain't fighting back. And just real quick before we go to the call lines, but thank you, caller, for that comment. We appreciate you. Before we do that, I wanted to say this, because the problem with the mentality of black people just being comfortable and hoping that, you know, things don't accept them, just trying to put their head down and just go with the flow, eventually they're going to show up at your doorstep. Eventually you're going to be faced with some type of racial issue, whether it's your kids at school, whether it's you just doing everyday stuff like going to the grocery store, going shopping, wherever, like these things happen. But black people, to a certain extent, we deal with this stuff so much, and we've been dealing with it so long, a lot of times we can't address every issue of racism. And furthermore, you know, we can't identify when something is racial or not, because they've masked things so much that a lot of things that are racial, we have no idea. Like, for instance, applying for an apartment. If you apply for an apartment, they could be like, hey, you know, your credit ain't up to par, or we don't have any available. You wouldn't have no idea of knowing if they telling the truth or not. You know what I'm saying? But they could be doing that specifically because you're black. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things have been kind of masked, and we deal with these situations so much, it's like we become numb to it. You dig what I'm saying? So, but the problem with being too comfortable is eventually it'll come to your doorstep. And like Mufasa said, when it do, then you want to rally around black people. Oh, we black now. Where my brothers at? Well, you know, then it becomes that type of thing. But if you would just, you know, if people would just pay attention and be aware from the beginning, try to get their family on code, recognize these things when they happen, and then we can figure out a way and a code of conduct to kind of combat those things when they happen to us. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's where we at with that. Roger, you there? You want to go to the call lines again?
Okay. Area code 314. 283, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, y'all can hear me?
Yes,
hey,
indeed.
Caller.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
loud and clear. Hey, peace.
What's up, man? What's up? Yeah, I'm just calling a quick answer to the response to the question. I just like
yes,
to say,
indeed.
Yeah, black folks in general, I would say they is comfortable in America because America has made it so convenient for them, and they have trained their mind, you know, where they can't separate from the system. You know, when you train the mind, the body will follow. So we're in a situation
That's
where
right.
we got to retrain their mind. And the sad
right.
part about it, you know, and this thing is way out of slavery. You know, when they put us out there with nothing to survive off of, you know, when they let us out of slavery. But the sad part about it in today's time is our people, you know, don't have the will to go study things out themselves, and they don't understand that we at war, regardless if they like it or not, we at war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to put up no defense towards it or anything. So regardless if they want to fight or not, the enemy don't care. He's coming with war.
That's right.
And that's through your pharmaceutical company and through your Food and Drug Administration. You
that's
know,
right.
So it's just, you know, you're already at war. So we got to, you know, take death off the table. Don't fear that. And
that's
we
right.
train ourselves for the body can follow. You know, start getting off the system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go about, you know, producing our own food, like Mufasa was saying about the food industry now. It's corrupt. You know,
that's
but we
right.
study or pump this food into our children's system, into our system, and you know, won't be enlightened. Don't get enlightened on what's going on in the world with this Food and Drug Administration. So we already at war with that. So we fearing death of the police coming to shoot us down
right.
for trying to wake our people up. Look, we already being killed on the backside with food and drugs.
That's
you
right.
We so duped.
Exactly.
We so duped. We'll read a pill, and the pill will show you 1,000 side effects. But we'll say, oh, man, my tooth still hurting. Let me take this medicine. But if you do any research, you could take a clove. Like, if you got a toothache, cloves are good. You put them on the side of your mouth. Now, that's just a natural herb. You know, it's probably in your food cabinet right now. And that'll actually numb
right.
the pain of the tooth. But there's so many herbs out here that's good for your health that we don't even research and study. You know,
that's
but
right.
we'll be quick to jump to the pharmaceutical company. Like I said, the government already got us trained, but we need to retrain
mm-hmm.
our mind, and we're going to have to accept the fact that, you know, everybody we talk to is not going to accept it. And they can be a cancer to our upbringing of trying to rise as a people.
Yes,
but we ain't going to be able to save everybody. That's going to be impossible. We're going to have to accept that. You know, because they'll
that's
be the
right.
downfall of us trying to rebuild. And that's just what it is. Because they comfortable in their situation.
That's right.
You know, so what our goal is to retrain our people and edify them, whether death is on the table or not. Because, like I said, we
that's
at war.
Right.
Death is already there. Through the
exactly.
system that they provide us and that our people are comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? We got to go against the grain as a people, man. We got to go against the grain.
Yes, indeed.
You know,
yes,
and
indeed.
And one example, like for my children, right, I already know it's coming, and this I do people are. Like I took my children off of vaccinations, told the school, hey, here go a religious exempt form. I know they're going to come
right.
and be like, look, well, you know, they might get our children sick. My thing is, how is they going to get y'all children sick and the rest of y'all children are already vaccinated? They should be protected,
exactly.
right?
Trust
me, but that's how Duke we are in the system.
Yep.
I should be worried.
Exactly.
If I ain't vaccinated my children, I should be worried.
Should be
but
worried.
I already,
exactly.
Yeah, but I already know y'all vaccinations are flawed and not needed.
That,
you know, my my children need natural herbs and substance like that from the earth. You know, basically, if
there
it don't grow from the earth, we don't need it.
There
you know,
you
if
go.
It ain't growing from the earth, man, we really don't need it. You know what I'm saying? But as we uplift our people later, don't even worry about no death being on the table. Because like I said, it's death on the backside of the pharmaceutical company and the drug administration. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So we gotta stand for something like Mufasa said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to stand for something. Because you're going to be enslaved, dying anyway, but you ain't standing for nothing.
Exactly.
So we got to retrain our children as they go up and the people around us. Whoever don't get it, hey, they going against the grain. They not with it. And we can't accept them into
it.
The fold.
That's right.
You know, so that's my stance on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, caller. You broke it down, too. Appreciate it.
I'm going to listen in. It's all good.
Yes, indeed. So, the caller brought up some good points, and I think a major point real quick. A major point is we have to understand that we are at war, right? But because we don't see the tanks in the streets and we don't see military fatigues and people walking around with AR, we don't think we're at war. But like the caller said, the war is in the food. The war is on the TV. The war is in the pharmaceutical, the medicines, big pharma. The war is at the schools, the educational system. And just to give you an example, these schools teach you what to think but not how to think, right? The schools teach you what to think but not how to think. So the thing is with black people, like the caller said, or he kind of alluded to, we have to become, as a people, more analytical and more curious and question everything about the system. Because if we just take what they give us, you know, we will take a comfortable position. We will fear death. You know what I'm saying? Because we think this is all we got. So those type of things need to be reevaluated. Like the caller said, we have to edify people, get them on point, get them away from this system as much as possible. Because it seems like even with the education piece, the more education you get, I'm talking about people with bachelor's degrees, master's of science, doctorate, that are black people, these are the people who are further away from being on code. You know, it seems like the more education you get, the more indoctrinated you are into the system. So we have to change that, and we have to be, like I say, become more analytical as a people within this system.
Brother Kidd.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
go
Brother
ahead, Kidd. Yes,
that's
sir.
That's just because the higher they get, the higher up the ladder they get in white society, the white man's system.
Right.
Then the more they feel like, yeah, they've made it. So they tend to steer away from things that got anything to do with uplifting the black community. They start looking at other black people like, you know, I did it. You can do
right.
it. And you tend to forget.
Right.
Because of your lack of ignorance, don't understand all the pitfalls and traps that we've had to go through. And for even for that person to get where they're at. You know, a lot of people have died and shed their blood to get black people to the level of where they are now. So when you study that, you need to, people should constantly appreciate that and stop being so all for self. I, me. See, that's that I, me thing. You know,
right?
The lack of nationhood, we've lost that. We've lost that love for nationhood.
Right, because you know, even when you talk about, you know, like black celebrities and black millionaires and multimillionaires and black trillionaires, like I say, the majority of black wealth is owned by the top 10%. That's a small number. When you talk about 90%, when you talk about $3 trillion, the top 10% of black American owns over 90% of that. So owns over 90% of that. So the other 90% of black people have to fend for those, that $0.5 trillion or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
With that
right.
being said, it's an illusion. The black
right.
wealth
it's an illusion
is,
of inclusion.
It's an illusion. Right. So we got all these people on TV. We got these athletes, these NBA players, these rappers flashing all this money. But really, the majority of black people are economically deficient. You dig what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And the ones that have the money, for some reason, a lot of them don't want to reach back to the other 90% to assist or to at least, you know, put word out, to comment on things. Like, we have celebrities that don't even want to comment on police shootings and educate, you know, just simple things that affect everyday black
yeah.
people. They don't want to comment
right.
on it. They don't want to say anything about, because they tied to these corporations who cut their checks. And
exactly.
a lot of times they undermine us, you know what I'm saying? So that's the situation.
And to bring it full circle,
just,
too. And also bring it full circle. And also to bring it full circle, I have to say, some people who may want to reach back they get, you know, upset or get in their feelings when the black people that they reach back to either A, don't want to listen, don't want to pay attention, you know what I'm saying, or just want to milk them dry. You know, it's just like, remember the brother a couple months ago who was, you know, the billionaire, the black billionaire who said he did his speech and said he wanted to pay off the debt.
Pay for the
of,
yeah.
His, exactly. I wish I could remember his name right now. Please forgive me. But
we'll get it.
A lot of people were saying that wasn't enough. He could have did better. You know, it's like, man, y'all don't even appreciate when somebody try, because he didn't have to do that. You know, so at least the brother tried. Gee, give him some credit. That's a step.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, that little number, we can't focus on them. But his name was Robert F. Smith. He's a billionaire, Robert F. Smith, that paid for the thing. So if you're just joining this family, we're about to go to the call lines, but we are talking about are black people too comfortable in America. And we're also trying to provide some solutions as well as we communicate and dialogue. So, yeah, Roger, let's hit the call line and see what the family's talking about.
Area code 314-381. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Did you get that information I sent you?
Yes, thank you so much. I did.
Oh, yeah. You did?
Yes, thank you.
You think that so. Robert... You think that Robert Smith done that because of his wife's encouragement? You know, she's white. She's a hustler model.
I'm not sure, whatever his reason, right, whatever his reason, I mean.
Whatever his reason.
That's
right. And it helped. And it helped a lot of black young men. It helped them out. So
well, you
I
know,
appreciate
one, you know, one thing that make it good is because of this administration's tax reform. Because if he did it as a charitable, which he should have done, he just can't. If you give it right out, it's going to be looked at as income. But
right.
What he's able to write off as far as charity is concerned due to Donald Trump's tax reform is greater than ever been before.
Yes,
and Kevin,
indeed.
You say so much stuff, man. My goodness. I had to make a list. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ain't gonna be able to get all through this. And you know, this thing about blacks need to separate. I don't understand what people are saying about that. Because you got all these different groups. You got Black Hebrew Israelites, the United Negro Improvement Association. You got America. No, you got the Nation of Islam. You got the. You mean you got the you got the Republic of New Africa that want 5 states? What the heck is folks talking about? How you gonna separate? Go where?
I'll let Mufasa answer that because for the record, I didn't say that. This is Brother Kev, Cosmic Kev.
Your last
for the
caller,
record,
man,
I never said
that. Yeah, and
okay.
You know, real quick, you know, you talk about not having your kids immunized. Well, you taking a chance. Because you got kids coming across, illegals coming across the southern border, and they may not, probably not, immunize. You have an outbreak of measles. Asa Hillard went to Africa several years ago and didn't take the malaria drugs, and guess what killed him? Malaria. So this stuff is for real.
Well,
I know people don't get their kids immunized. That's because all the other kids are immunized, so they probably won't. But if you got kids coming from around the world, and especially like we got them coming across the southern border, if they don't trust their governments to live, though, you think they trust their governments to stick needles in the kids' arms? No, I don't think
exactly.
So.
And that's the point. I mean, because per the research, there's a lot of chemicals and things that are in these vaccines that they're trying to give to our kids that are unnecessary. Basically, you're going to give the kid the disease in hopes that the body fights it off naturally and they don't get it again.
Well,
so
don't
the
that
whole
way,
thing
isn't that the way it works? Even naturally?
No. Exactly. So why not Okay, so why would you add these other chemicals in these vaccines that cause autism, that cause seizures and other types of things within these kids? So
well,
I don't know
if
the trade-off is worth it.
I don't know about that, but I know that happens naturally because when people travel around the world early on in the dawn of voyages, when you came in contact with another civilization of people, you had opportunity, just like when whites came to this country, settlers, the Indians passed on to them things they hadn't received and vice versa. They picked up dysentery and one other.
Well,
you had tuberculosis that came from Africa.
Right. Well, we do know historically that the Europeans and Caucasians have been the biggest disease carriers when it comes to coming in contact with indigenous people. Like that's
well, that's because
history.
That's what
you know,
hear.
That's not me. That's just history.
Yeah,
no,
that's what
just,
you hear.
That's history.
Well, no, it can't be because if Africans traveled around the world, you know, you guys like to get in an argument with me. I can't help out that you don't like what I say. Well, can I say what I said? I got 10 things here that you said, and I didn't have a chance to challenge it, and you don't have nobody on your panel
go
with you, all y'all together.
No, I'm going to give you – no, sir, I'm giving you a minute to
but
go ahead.
But you said that three times, Kevin, and I get ready to give you some compromising information, and you say, well, that's what they –
oh, go ahead. I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead. We're going to give you a
Africans supposedly traveled around the world, as others did, and the things that, like I said, TB, tuberculosis began on that continent. So when they traveled around the world, they supposedly traveled here before anybody else did. So would they not be the source of TB and where they traveled elsewhere? So that is a human trait. That ain't no nothing that's associated with any one people. You made another meme about this shooter, and you talk about a manifesto. How do you know it was his? They don't know.
This is
every
what
source,
they're reporting, sir. This is what they're reporting.
Read what they
and
say on New York. Well, let me finish, Kevin. Read what
ahead,
they say
ahead.
On Washington Post. Read what they say on New York Times, and I don't subscribe to either one of them. It says that it's unsigned. They don't know who put that up there. His name is not on it, unlike the one in New Zealand with that shooter who was Australian, and he called himself an eco-fascist. But this one here is unsigned. Maybe the Russians put it up there. I mean, all
okay,
those things got to be thought about. And,
no
and you
doubt.
Know, it's easy for people to read a headline and say, oh, man, he wrote about it. But in the article it says they don't know who put this up there. Another thing, Obama's daughters is dating white males, white supremacy, especially the oldest one. Probably end up marrying them. And Obama did not pass that law on LGBTQ rights or whatever it is. That was Congress that passed that. He didn't pass it.
Of course. I mean, we know the process and procedure,
but that ain't what
that
you
was
said.
The deal. But that was a bill that
he didn't sponsor
had to
the
sign
bill.
Off. He has to sign off on the bill as well. If you know the checks and balances.
No,
of the
he
government.
Didn't have to. Wait a minute. He didn't have to sign the bill. He could have vetoed it.
He could have vetoed it, exactly. But he didn't.
So when he vetoed it, that means when he vetoes it, that means he doesn't sign it, right? If it came across Donald Trump's desk, I would guarantee you $10 to a donor, he wouldn't sign it.
They would have to
override his veto.
Huh? Right, we don't know. That's neither here nor there. We don't know. Now,
you
correction,
talk about,
his old. Now, Trump's oldest daughter is Ivanka, and she's married
it
to
is
Jared
what
Kushner.
It is.
She's already married to him. And yes,
married
he is
to who?
A
I'm talking wife. About Trump. We're talking about
Kushner.
Obama's. We're talking about Obama's daughter.
Oh, you said Obama's daughter. Mama said, okay, you're talking about
Obama's daughter dating a white man. Chelsea Clinton. Tells Chelsea Clinton married this son of Edward, and I can't think of the man's last name, but he spent 5 years in prison for doing a Ponzi scheme. He was Jewish.
Yeah. I'm familiar.
I can't
with
think
that.
Of his name. All right. Now you talk about black income, and see this thing about black folks is of American citizens. That's what they are, and they would fight against anything that comes along that tries to disrupt the vested interests that they have in this country. And education does count. You know, one thing that's a problem, and your Vanguard organizations won't release the death hole that they have on your children, even to the point where the parents promote it, is this education system that you got your kids in. As was reported about Baltimore schools. Hey, you got 3,840 high schools take the state math test and only 14 pass proficiently. That's totally ridiculous. Right. And that's not white folks doing. I sent you the state law of Missouri.
Okay, go. No, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish because... Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish if we want to get to some other calls, but I'm going to respond.
Sent you a copy of the state law of Missouri, and it spells out that whatever goes on in their school district is up to the parents. It's not the state board of education. It's not the administrator. It's the parents. When it comes down to curriculum, when it comes down to instructional material, and when it comes down to the books, you can have whatever books you want in there as long as your children can meet the state minimum standards. They know how to read, write, and do arithmetic. So that's not white folks doing that stuff. But
you know, I did.
And you know, one
that,
other thing too. Your income is closely related to the profession that you're in here in the United States. And another thing is that blacks are overrepresented in low-paying majors. You know, when you're liberal arts, your early childhood education, when you're talking about other professions, that's not within those that are in high demand, like your STEM fields and medicine. Right now it's aviation. Well, you got a problem there. And, you know, you go to these McDonald's where people are talking about they need to raise the minimum wage up to $20 an hour, $15 an hour. Well, what are they doing? They're putting in kiosks where all you got to do is go in there and push a picture, and then your order comes out. So they're doing away with people there, too. Even on your agriculture, they don't need any immigrants, migrant workers, pretty soon, because they have mechanized that with technology, where the technology will not only plant, but it will also harvest the crops from tomatoes, grapes, cucumbers, potatoes, cabbage, lettuce.
Right.
You don't need people no more. But that means that that's an area that blacks should be able to should be going into, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of areas, and thank you for the caller because I want to get to one more caller. But
yeah, please.
Caller, if you're available after the show, we can touch base on some of the other things that you wanted to talk about if you're available. Well, have your number. We can call you afterwards if you're available.
Well, call me. I'm here. Yeah. I'm not going no place. I'm doing some work. Anyway, get to the mother calls. You might have somebody that takes my stance.
Yes, indeed. Okay. We appreciate you calling. Appreciate it.
Okay. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collect the Minds Radio. What's your question? What's your comment?
Hey, yeah, you guys cut me off earlier. You didn't let me finish.
Sorry, it was the background. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, because I was trying to respond to what Mufasa was saying about a code of conduct. When you know your enemy is not operating with a code of conduct, that means you don't operate with a code of conduct. Why should you fight equally with your enemy?
Right. Well, what I was saying is a code. They do have a code. Now, they code
and another thing,
there's no rules, but they do have a code.
And another thing, how many black militias do you think are out there? What would you think?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. If if they restarted doing black militias, it raises that flag. But the whites can have as many militias as they want to, and they all go off of hate.
Right. This is
so
true.
Yeah, I just want to throw that in your ear.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, what you just said, Carla, is definitely true. There are a lot of white militias, and they do have, backing and support from the government. Even if we look at the Clive and Bundy thing out in Nevada, the Clive and Bundy ranch, for those who are not familiar, this guy owns a ranch, and he had got into it. They had a big spat about the land, and he got into it with the federal government. And they actually had a battle or a small war with the federal government. This was during the Obama administration. They had a federal war. Clive and Bundy, you can look it up. Clive and Bundy, his son.
Oh, can you turn your background down, your TV down or something, Carla?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
Your radio or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went to war with the government and, basically had a standoff. And Trump ended up pardoning, a few of them when he got in office. But that was to the caller's point that, yes, they do have militias. They do have backings. You know, when black people try to get arms, we can just look at the Black Panther Party, the Deacons of Defense, things like that. Anytime we try to get arms, bear arms, protect ourselves, it's seen as a problem. You see what I'm saying? But these other groups can just, have guns and be patriotic, quote unquote, and go around toting their guns.
And if you really look at how they acted, they used their guns to protect their rights.
Right.
They didn't
go
out to do whatever, but I'm just saying, a group of black men out on a compound training with arms, they're going to come for us. But it's something that we need to be thinking about doing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely, we down to the last 8 minutes, family. So we gonna be wrapping it up in a minute. But thank you, Carla, for that follow up. We appreciate it. So yeah, I agree. We could just go wrap it up here in the last 8 minutes. It's been a great show, great dialogue with the family. We were talking about, are black people too comfortable in America to change the current condition that we are in. I went through the economic numbers basically to show the disparities in wealth that we have in this country. And one of the callers had mentioned, the jobs or the degrees, that black people are pursuing are not applicable to, to building wealth or getting some wealth. And I agree with that. I think the thing is, within our high schools, our high schools and the places we go to schools are so underfunded because the school funding is attached to the property, of the homes within that neighborhood. So that's how they kind of measure how much funding the school is going to get. So we know in black communities, the value of the homes and property value is low. So therefore, the funding for the school is going to be low as well. So with that being said, we don't get all the resources. We don't get the best books, the best curriculum, the best paid teachers. And then that starts to affect the educational level, not to mention just the whole education system itself is flawed. Basically, like I say, they teach people how to think and not they teach people what to think and not how to think. So that in itself is flawed, but there's a lot of issues when it comes to that as far as education and how we transition to that next level, because many of us may not make that next step, and if we do, we end up getting debt from these colleges, which in turn sets us back as a group on the economic ladder that we're trying to climb and get out of, in order to protect ourselves. So, I'm going to just leave it right there for now. Thank you, family. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you for the callers and supporters. We want to thank all the listeners. We appreciate you guys every week. And just remember, you know, follow us on social media. I'm going to let Queen Raju and Mufasa wrap us up, though. Mufasa, you want to get some last words before we wrap up? Yeah, go ahead, my brother.
Yes, sir. I'll start by saying I would love to invite the two callers back on at another time so we can go over more about separation and where we need to go and why we need to do it and the steps and the process to do that. And also about these different militias that the other caller brought up of, you know, how to react to these militias. So I look forward to talking with both of those two at a later time. But I still want to reiterate that we need to put it into our minds that we are at war, understand it, eat it up and digest it, because it's a fact. We are at war. We are being mistreated here. And the sooner you get a grip on that and a grasp on that, you'll be better prepared and have a better understanding of your true, natural, open enemy and what could possibly happen to you. So stop being lazy. Be a student. Study what's going on. Study our ancestors that put out a blueprint for us, like Marcus Garvey and most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Study their plans. And
that's right.
Get involved. Get involved with your community.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, right, Joe.
Yeah.
Last words.
And just to piggyback, just piggybacking off of everybody, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I think everybody made great points. And I still feel like, you know, unfortunately, I think it is an unfortunate thing, but we are at a, you know, I think we're still at a point where we're just comfortable with the way that things are going on. We don't want no trouble, sort of say. But, you know, if it comes, you know, if it comes, you know, I think that's when people will get pushed. And, yeah,
no,
it's
smoke.
Easy to say that we should all be leaders. No smoke. But you just have to know that everybody isn't a leader, though. You know, everybody isn't. Well, no, everybody doesn't utilize the power they have to be leaders, because I do think that we have it within us to become leaders because we are born individuals.
There you go.
But
there you go.
Right.
We don't. Everybody don't utilize their power unless they are backed up into a corner. You know, some people just don't. And I just think that it's just unfortunate that, you know, we are at this place of comfort where it's like, well, as long as it don't happen now while I'm here, then I'm going to just ride it out. You know, but I guess if people are okay with that and that's what they are okay, they can live with that decision, and that's just what it is until people are just tired of being sick and tired, you know. And I think I said this before, I know I did, that it really only takes one person to be tired of being sick and tired, you know, and just make a big bang, you know, just make a big bang. It can be done, and, you know, I'll just leave it there. But thanks, everybody, again, for calling in, tuning in. Check us out next Sunday and any other Sunday after that. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, you name it. Email us with any show topic ideas that you may have at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Peace. Looking forward to another bill next week, Sunday. Thank you. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earth. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like it.